So again, coming together, practicing together. And I want to say a few words about that, because I think there's a way of coming together that we can do skillfully and a way that we can do it unskillfully. I think it's important when we come together, there really is a great power to that, which some of you have voiced. But also when we come together, there can be things that happen kind of, you could say, underneath the surface that aren't so helpful. And that's when we have the sense of, we have a superficial sense that we're all the same. That we don't honor the sense that actually there's all kinds of differences that we have in this community right here. It's quite a diverse group that we have here. And you might notice, you might have come into a group at some point in your life where you feel like you can be in the group, but not all of you can be there. You ever have that feeling? Oh, I can be here, but in terms of my sexual orientation, I can't be here. Or I can be here, but in terms of my ethnicity or race, I can't be here. Or I can be here, but in terms of my political views, I can't be here. Or in terms of gender, or age, or ability. Have you ever noticed this in terms of how groups work? And this is one thing that we want to make sure that when we come together in a way that all of you is welcome. So however you identify yourself, however you are in the world, that all of you is really welcome here. And this goes in particular probably mostly, as I point out, to me, since I'm speaking. And a lot of times this sense of exclusion can happen through language or how language is used. So please let me know. I can make mistakes. If there's a way that I'm speaking that you feel excluded, it's very important. Or that the way the retreat is run. So again, all of you is welcome here. And to remember, as I share with you this path, to know that, you know, some of it is going to fit for you and some of it is not going to fit for you. And actually, that's okay. It's actually okay. The sense of the things that you'll find that fits and the things that don't fit. And so it's not this feeling of that it all has to fit for you, to have a quality of flexibility around what we're sharing. Because this is your path. You're going to have to figure out what's effective, what is going to be the right way of understanding this for yourself. And yet, I feel when we honor this diversity and really acknowledge it, that we're different, that our experiences are different. Our experiences of how we've gone through the world is different. That then we can have a true coming together of probably some shared values that are right here in this group. Probably all of us here, we're here because you have some kind of intention or know. There's this deeper way of living, or a more authentic way of being here in this mystery of living. And it somehow brings us together to explore this. Exploring this activity of being present. And not only that, we're designed to come together so that we can deepen our path. I mean, it's literally within our DNA. It's interesting, they did a study in Bosnia, and they were looking at, it was around interventions for symptoms of trauma. As you know, of the horrors that happened in Bosnia, they were looking to see what could help in particular women renegotiate traumatic experiences that happened during the conflict. And it was fascinating what they found. They were looking at these different interventions, for example, maybe something like CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, something that's used for trauma, and other interventions, psychological interventions, and noticing which one helped the most or was quite effective in dealing with symptoms. Do you know what they found to be the most effective intervention? The women's knitting circle. Pretty cool, huh? And if you really imagine what goes on in a knitting circle, there's something really powerful about that. It's women getting together, coming together, like we're doing here. We're coming together, having a similar focus, knitting. And then literally, as they come together, knitting their lives back together. Right, this sense of disconnection or tearing, and then it literally being woven together through knitting and through connection. When we come together, we can heal together. And not only can we heal together, we can actually wake up together. We can start to have a taste of freedom on the spiritual path. And also, I feel what's so powerful about coming together is that sometimes you might notice that you forget. You forget these deeper values that you hold. Maybe the deeper value to live in a more authentic way, or however you want to language that. As Milan Kundera said, the author of The Unbearable Lightness of Being, he said, when we go fast, we forget. Have you noticed this? You get caught up in your life, you do one thing and then another thing, and you're going fast, and then you actually forget what's really of value for living. Our lives are so short. What a tragedy to forget. And what a blessing merely just to come together and to remember what's valuable. And I'm thinking, since we all came together on this retreat, probably a similar value is that we see what's valuable is actually to be here, to be present. You probably noticed there's a theme for this retreat, and it was the four foundations of mindfulness. As the Buddha said, he said, practitioners, this is the direct path. The direct path for the liberation, for the realization of liberation, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. This quote comes from a discourse of the Buddha called the Satipatthana Sutta, and I'm going to talk to you about this word Satipatthana because it's essential to what we're doing here. And the reason I wanted to begin to introduce you to it, especially in terms of practice, is in terms of, you could say, the world of Vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation, it's the single most important discourse of the Buddha that is referred back to again and again and again for the practice that we're doing here. It's the discourse that really lays the foundation for this meditation practice in terms of Vipassana. But it also is the basis for any kind of mindfulness meditation out there, even in terms of the medical field and things like that. It derives a lot of its understanding of meditation from this discourse. And this retreat is not so much about studying this discourse or going into detail about it. It's going to be more about getting a general flavor of what the Buddha was talking about in a very general way. In May, if you are interested, there is going to be a study group on Thursday evenings where we're going to be going into more detail about this discourse, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. So if you're curious about it or you want to learn more about it, just let me know and I can sign you up for the group or give you more details about it. And we'll be just meeting four times in May around it. The way I'd like to share with you about this discourse is to just begin with this word, Satipatthana, which is a Pali word, Pali being the early scriptural language of Buddhism. And I want to divide it up so that we can get an understanding of it, because it's going to really apply to what we're doing here this weekend. And just a caveat, if you can't hear me, you might need to move closer. And also, if you feel like you're getting too much in the sun, really feel free as I speak to move around. So really be quite flexible about that. And that's something that we're going to be doing all day, to make sure you take care of yourself in terms of the sun and being able to hear me. So Satipatthana. The first part of it is this word sati, which is usually translated as mindfulness or presence of mind. Simply put, mainly for the intention of this retreat, it's that quality of mind of presence, of actually being here right now. And just one poem that I feel expresses the underlying attitude that's needed, or the underlying feeling to engage in such a practice. And this is a poem from Wendell Berry, which is aptly entitled, "What We Need Is Here." He begins, "Geese appear high over us, pass, and the sky closes. Abandon, as in love or sleep, holds them to their way. Clear in the ancient faith, what we need is here. And we pray not for new earth or heaven, but to be quiet in heart and in eye clear. What we need is here." Very simple, right? The sense that actually really what you need is happening right now, right here. And can you sense into that? And when I say sense into it, I'm not saying think about, but simply to be aware of that. It could be as simple as something like the sound of the wind come and go, or the feeling of the breeze across your cheek. Those kinds of things. And do you hear what he's connecting it to? Geese, migration patterns. They're clear about what they need season after season and where they need to be, because they're sensitive to what they need right here and now. They're sensing into something deeper, an ancient faith. It's that kind of knowing, that kind of wisdom that we're trying to tap into. The way they know when it's time to move on. So it's really this simple skill of being present. And for those of you who've been on retreat again and again and again, you hear me break it down into these two qualities of being aware. And again, when I say aware, just the simple act of sensing into what's going on right now. It could be the actual feeling of your abdomen rising and falling as you breathe in and out. Not the thought about I am breathing, but the actual experience of it. The actual experience of the sound of the wind. The actual experience of the sun on your face or your body, that feeling of warmth. Really, really simple things to be aware of. So not awareness in terms of thinking about, awareness in terms of the direct sense of this present moment. And acceptance, not only awareness, but acceptance. Accepting what's going on right now. Simply allowing, the quality of allowing, that quality of okayness. And if you're not okay with the present moment, being okay with not being okay. very simple. I'm not saying it's easy, I'm just saying it's simple. And what we want is we want to cultivate this awareness and acceptance to whatever arises on the retreat. So often what can happen is you can come on a retreat and you can feel like, oh, this is the experience I'm going for, but these other experiences, like sleepiness or agitation, those aren't supposed to be happening in this retreat. We're actually trying to simply open up to whatever's arising, regardless if it's pleasant or unpleasant. Again, another poem that I feel describes this quality, this attitude, this quality of allowing that is so essential to this practice. And this is a poem by a poet by the name of Alison Luderman. She begins. She says, try to love... Oh, just a minute. Before I mention it, let me give you a little bit of a background of the poem because it makes it a little bit easier to understand. So here she is. She's gone to swim laps at a public swimming pool. So just so you have this image of the sense that this is the setting for this poem. And she begins. She says, try to love everything that gets in your way. The Chinese women in flowered bathing caps murmuring together in Mandarin, doing leg exercises in your lane, while you execute 36 furious laps, one for every item on your to-do list. The heavy-bellied man who goes thrashing through the water like a horse with a harpoon stuck in its side, whose breathless tsunamis rock you from your course. Teachers, all, learn to be small and swim through obstacles like a minnow without grudges or memory. Dart toward your goal, sperm to egg, thinking obstacle is another obstacle. Try to love the teenage girl idly lounging against the ladder, showing off her new tattoo that says, "This life is mine," in thick blue-black letters on her ivory instep. Be glad she'll have to look at it all her life and keep going, keep going. Swim by an uncle in the lane next year's who is teaching his nephew how to hold his breath underwater, even though kids aren't allowed at this hour. Someday, years from now, this boy who is kicking and flailing in the exact place you want to touch and turn will be a young man at a wedding on a boat, raising a champagne glass in a toast when a huge wave hits, washing everyone overboard. He'll come up coughing and spitting like he is now, but he'll come up like a cork, alive. So your moment of impatience must bow in service to a larger story, because if something is in your way, it is going your way. The way of all beings, towards darkness, towards light.